that Joel had under consideration. And the Apostle Peter affirmed that that which you see right now is the very thing of which Joel was spoken. He was speaking, so there can be no doubt. Now, friends, if you look at Acts chapter 2, and you see all of the various references to the Holy Spirit and things that are pertaining to Him on this particular occasion, every one of these had a reference to or indicated that which was miraculous in nature. And so, as we look at this, and we're going to say some things further about this, I would ask you, with the sin of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, that they were amazed, verse 7, and I think it also said that in verse number 13, as the apostles were standing up and they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as they were miraculously guided to, for the first time, proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, when the Apostle Peter came to Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, mentioning repentance and baptism, Paddy and I agree on this, and then promising the idea of the gift of the Holy Spirit, what do you think these people had, or what do you think they had in mind? Do you think that they had in their mind that this was a personal, indwelling, non-miraculous of the Holy Spirit? Friends, we can go back and we can show that the Old Testament prophets, when they spoke of this, that this was the basic idea. Now, notice in Acts 2, verse 38, he says, you shall receive. Let's see our chart, if you would, Brother Ron, on that. Notice this particular idea of shall. He said last night, Brother Pat dealt quite extensively with the idea of the English shell in showing that it has to be and it can be no other way. Well, I want to draw your attention to a very interesting statement, if you would please, and notice here this particular idea. Notice that in Acts 2 and verse 38, ye shall receive. Now, he's emphasizing this particular word. Here is the Greek word. Whether we can pronounce it or not does not mean a thing. The exact same Greek word is found in John chapter 5, verse 43. And here Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not, if another will shall come in his or shall come in his own name. Now what? Him ye will receive. Right there is the translation of that word. Now, why in one passage did the translators use will, and in another passage you shall? Well, friends, the answer is very clear. Notice here, shall, and this is copied off of the internet, after if, and some verb which express condition or supposition, notice the word shall, that's what we're looking at, in all persons strictly foretells. Brother Pat was unaware of this particular exception. This was taken from Mr. Webster, the great man of his 1828 edition. Now, friends, they were much closer to the time of the translation of the King James Version than you and I are today. And so I suggest that there is no distinction that is to be made. The Apostle Peter is just simply saying, and he is foretelling something that they would receive. Now, let's look at the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at this in just a few moments. But there is another thing. And I'll come back to this. Notice he says, for the promise. Now, the problem that Brother Pat and I have in disagreement is on what is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But let's look at the context. The background, the prophetic background, was miraculous. The events of that day were miraculous. Now, Peter says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch what he says. For the promise is unto you and your children. Let's add chart number 30, if you would, Brother Ron, at this time. Notice here, if you would, please. The background of this is Joel chapter 1, verse 3. Now, he presented the idea in his first affirmative speech concerning your children, and he says that is posterity. A good way to check the definition of anybody's word that they're using is just to put that definition in place of the word. And so Joel is saying, you tell it to your children, and of it, and let your children tell their posterity, and their posterity another generation. Friends, the background of Joel chapter 2 is, or of Acts chapter 2, is Joel chapter 2. Now, notice here, if you look at Luke 23 and verse number 28, here is an occasion when Jesus is on his way to the place of crucifixion, and he turns and he says to the daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. And of what is he speaking? Friends, I'm listening on the horizon, and in a few years, about 4 years from this particular time, was going to be the total rejection or destruction, rather, of these people, the nation of Israel at this particular time. And so, the basic idea as we look at this is that indeed the promise is unto your children, and it is referring to that specific generation of time. Now, Brother Pat, last night, when I made mention, and I mentioned this idea, show us one example where the phrase, Greek phrase, ever refers in the New Testament before the one generation. Now, Brother Pat came up with the idea of the children of Israel, and he says that shows posterity. Lance, that's not what I asked. The word that is translated right here, your children, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 39, appeared, I believe it is, 99 times in the New Testament. And that it does sometimes refer to generation posterity. Who's going to deny that? I accept that. But the fact is, the phrase that the Apostle Peter used in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 39, where is it found that that is ever used to refer to more than one generation? And so as we look at this, friends, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was promised to you, that is those people there, and to your children, one generation. And that's when the miraculous gift, in my judgment at least, seems to exist in one generation after the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. I'm not going to argue the time that they seized. I know that they did. Notice he says the promise is unto you and your children and all of them that are far off. Brother Pat has made quite a to-do about why I haven't dealt with it. I didn't think it was necessary, friend. There's no doubt all that are far off are the Gentiles. And the miraculous gift went to the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, through verse 11 or 12. There the Apostle Paul talks to the church in Ephesus, which was a Gentile congregation, and he refers to the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians, the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter, refers to the very same idea. So, yes, those that are far off, and the Gentiles receive that. Notice he says, are all that are far off, that's all flesh. Back in chapter, the book of Acts, in verse number 17, as Peter begins to quote Joel chapter 7, he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You, your children, and all them that are far off. That's exactly what he did. For the promise is unto you and your children and all them that are far off, as many as. Now, friends, I want you to look at that. As many as. That very concept has the idea that indeed there is a natural built-in limitation. Notice here, if you look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul, and there's other passages that we can look at, how many, he says, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. As many as, that limits it. There is a totality, but it is looking to as many as. And notice he says, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And certainly then, it is looking to those that call and the way that is going to come. He says they will be called. He doesn't tell us when they're going to be called. He doesn't tell us how they're going to be called. That's not in the passage. God shall call. And by the way, my friends, he's talking here about the word proskuneo, but the word that we're looking at is proskuneo line. And he mentioned the idea called one service. Well, also, notice that analytical Greek lexicon says to call to the performance of a thing, call to a special task or office, so says Mark in Greek, Gingrich. Paul, or the Holy Spirit, said, separate these four requirements, Acts 13, verses 1 and 2, to the work that I have called them. In the proskuneo, I was the word that we're looking at, friends. And so, here the basic idea is, shall call. Now let's go very quickly, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. And notice verse number 13, if you would, please. Here, the apostle, or here, the master presents the idea that they're going to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. Now, Brother Pat says that refers to obedience. But my friends, the Greek word that is found here, unless I have overlooked, is never used in the New Testament to refer to obedience. when you've got it down there, that the way that you do that is obeying that. Now, he says, those that ask, he shall give the Holy Spirit to them. Now, remember the context. Remember the word anachronism. Let's put these thoughts in the proper time frame. And so, we're going to turn, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 8, verse number 14 and 15. I'm going to show you exactly how the Holy Spirit was received, my friends. Philip had gone into the city of Samaria. There he had preached the gospel. There they had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 14 of Acts chapter 8, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, friends, Acts chapter 8, verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 13, I'm sorry, says that he's going to give, God is going to give the Holy Spirit. We find that this is exactly how he did it. And I pointed out last night that the parallel passage, as some would call it, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, points out the idea of the things. And so we see the promise here of the gift of the Holy Spirit to your children and old men that are afar off. God is going to call them. How? To the work of the miraculous by the laying on of hands. He doesn't say how in Acts 2, but he shows us how in Acts chapter 8. Let's turn, then, if you would please, very hurriedly, to Acts 5 and verse 32. In Acts 5 and 32, the apostles were on trial among the religious leaders on this particular occasion. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32, there is an interesting statement here where the apostle Peter is testifying, or arguing, as it were, that we have been with Christ, we have seen his death, we have seen his resurrection, and then he says we are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit of God at the end of the day. Now, Brother Pat says that that is the Holy Spirit himself to all that obey him. Well, my friends, this is an argument relative to the idea of divine authority. The religious leaders told Peter and the apostles, we told you to keep your mouth shut. Peter said in verse number 29 and following, we must obey God, ought to obey God rather than man. He then refers to these things that they were witnesses, and he said, we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost that God has given to them that obey him. Picture in your mind, if you would, please, Brother Pat and the Apostle Peter standing up, with each affirming what they suffer, what Brother Pat affirms. It is the personal, non-miraculous indwelling of the person of the Spirit himself. I want to draw your attention to something that I think is very important. Now consider what the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 5, and notice if you would, verse 32. Notice here that he says, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32, concerning the witness, the Holy Spirit is a witness, he says. Now watch what happens in verse 33. When they heard this, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Do you think if that was standing there and said that's just referring to the non-miraculous first word? Well, if you can't see it, there is no perception whatsoever. Nobody can see it. And do you think the people would take unarmed with this? And they would say, why? We're going to take counsel to kill you. No, my friends, we understood the import of that particular statement. This is the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, when he says that he shall testify and the Holy Spirit shall bear witness, the same Greek word. Now the Apostle Peter here is doing exactly what Jesus said they would do. They would bear witness and the Holy Spirit would by the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, that's the background of Acts chapter 2. That's the very verse of that very passage that Brother Pratt is arguing from. And certainly we understand that it is miraculous. Everything about it was miraculous in the sense of the time and the events at that particular time. Peter, in light of that, he promised them the gift of every one of them? No. No more than John the Baptist promised to every one of the Jews baptism in fire or baptism in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11 and verses following. And so here, the Apostle Peter is simply saying, concerning that they would, by the letting on of their apostolic hand, receive the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit in order to confirm and reveal, etc., etc. How much time do I have?